From the third chapter of the book of Acts, the first 10 verses. And Almighty God, as we open your word, speak to us. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher. May we hear what you would have us hear. Be changed as you would have us be changed, and go and do what you would have us go and do. Move everything and everyone out of the way, so that your word may be heard. Amen. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. It's an incredible story, this first healing done after Pentecost, after the creation of the church, as we've been discussing for some time, the coming together of the 12, the introduction of the Holy Spirit in a whole new way, and how that caused people to come. And as many people came, many of them, 3,000 on one day, accepted Christ. And there are so many things about this particular story, so many beautiful points to be made. This gate that was called Beautiful was the very ornate. The reason it was called that is because it was a beautiful, beautifully decorated, ornate gate. And the temple, as you may know, had several courts as you worked your way inwards to the Holy of Holies, where only the priests could go. And outside that, only Jewish men of age could go. And outside that, Jewish men and women and children could go. And then as you exited the gate called Beautiful, the Gentiles could come. That was as far as they could go. This gate stopped them. And as people came, the church, it's a good place for a beggar to be because people wanted to show off in front of others and in front of God what they were doing. So it was a good place for a beggar to hang out and receive. But why was this guy laying there all these years? Why did he have to come back every single day? What were they giving him? A few coins here and there? Anyone take this man into their home? Anyone look at him as a child of God and love him? Yeah, it's one thing to toss him a few coins. These are God's people. He was even getting past where the Gentiles were, in case they didn't know. These were God's people passing him. God's chosen ones. And yet he was left there to beg every day. Until this day. Until this day. And it's interesting, Peter and John were going there at 3 o'clock because that was prayer time. And they did that. That was a regular thing people did. They came to the temple regularly, consistently to pray. And this man came regularly, consistently to get something else. And as those two things came together, as those two things met, on this day, something changed. Something changed for him and something changed for Peter and John. And I love that they make this point that Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Did your daddy ever tell you when you're talking to someone to look him in the eye? What's that show? It shows respect. It shows you're telling the truth. Right? The people who gave money to him as they passed by were giving him something. They were trying to show something about themselves, but in their sideways glances, they weren't giving truth. Peter said, "Look at me." And the man looked at him. He showed him respect. He showed him a courtesy not usually given to someone of his state. "Look at me." And John looked at him right in the eye, and the man gave them his attention. And his whole world began to change in that moment. Well, we were on this mission trip, and one of the beautiful things that takes place when you go on a mission trip like this, sometimes people ask, why do you do that? Isn't there plenty of work to be done here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. There is. But why do baseball teams have spring training? Why do football teams have summer camp? Why do those things take place? Because sometimes you need focus on the basics. And we are given people. You heard the word residents and homeowners, because those were folks that we were assigned to work with who needed help. And so people that we may have just walked by on any other day, we were given their address and told to go to their house and to talk to them. We were actually given the instructions. Don't just go swinging hammers. Go and talk to them. Go and look at them in the eye. Get their attention. And so when we go, we're given a great gift of that time of focus. But it's not for us to walk away from until we go again next year. It is to increase our ability to walk the streets of Camden and Wyoming and Dover and Felton and look people in the eye and give them what we have. It strengthens us to enable us to do it all the time. We give value to those residents that we may not have given them otherwise, because that barrier, that beautiful gate that separates us from them is broken down. And they bring us into their homes. And we find the heart of a child of God, regardless of what their house looks like, regardless of what their clothing looks like. But that's not something to be left in West Virginia or New Jersey or North Carolina or anywhere else we travel. That is a gift God is giving us that we are to put to work every day of our lives. And the reason we bring all these people up here to share those stories with you is not just so you can hear the nice stories and laugh or shed a tear. Those are great things to take place. But so that you can hear that people have been changed. They've been given the ability to see not just people in West Virginia, but people in Delaware as children of God. This man couldn't walk, but his greatest need was Jesus. We worked with a guy who didn't have the second exit out of his home and was going to be taken from his home. Jeff mentioned, I think, that his wife was his caregiver, but he was going to be taken from his home without this. So, they needed that. But more than that, they needed Jesus. And we shared Christ with them. Those people needed windows. They did, but their greatest need was Jesus. No matter what your house looks like, no matter what your car looks like, no matter what your health is like, your greatest need is Jesus. So, you heard it from several people. Oh, if you can go next year, go. And I would encourage you, if God's calling you, pack up and go with us. But if silver and gold is not what you have, and that silver and gold could just be the means for anything, it doesn't have to be actual money. Maybe you don't have the ability to go, the time. There may be something preventing you from going. But what you have, give. And what you have is Jesus. You don't have to go to West Virginia to give Jesus. 80 to 85% of our community is home this morning. You know what they need? They need Jesus. People you work with, people in your neighborhood, maybe people in your home need Jesus. They looked him in the eye. They got his attention. And they said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you." And the other great thing about that is, if I give my silver and gold, if I make that sacrifice, which we are called to do, I am not saying we are not called to help those in need. Scripture is very clear. We are called to help those in need. There's no wiggle room there. We are called. But when I do that, I don't have what I just had. If I give you what's in my wallet, well, actually, it wouldn't be much there, but if I did and I gave it to you, I would not have that any longer. But when I give you Jesus, you know what I have? I have more Jesus than I had when we started the conversation. Because by opening myself to give, I receive more than I started with. And I think this is so cool. Taking him by the right hand, he helped them up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Crippled from birth, instantly strong. That's physically impossible. It's impossible. I can't do it. A doctor can't do it. Therapists can't do it. Medicine can't do it. They can get you there in some cases. But with the creative power of God, whatever it is that's hurting you in your life, whatever it is that's weakening you in your life, can be instantly changed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Someone mentioned Mike from World Servants that gave his testimony, and his history included a lot of alcoholism and drugs, and we shared something. We were talking about that in private, and he was talking about those organizations that help people get off alcohol, which are important, and they do good work, but that people often come out of there saying, "I am, for the rest of their lives, 10, 20, 30 years away from the bottle, will say, I'm a recovering alcoholic." He doesn't say that, and I agree with him, because he's been transformed by the power of Christ. He's not a recovering anything, but a recovering sinner. But he has been transformed. He's been transformed. He's been healed by the power of Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen.